So I had the opportunity, actually just a couple of weeks ago, to tour through Microsoft Studios, which is our on-campus facility for doing video production. And it's not like Amazon Studios, where they're doing TV shows and feature films and things like that. But it's a facility where we can do R&D, where we can do corporate video and production, streaming services through LinkedIn Live and things like that. It actually has the second largest virtual soundstage in the Pacific Northwest. It's got multiple regular soundstages for doing whenever you see Satya or Brad Smith doing a webcast, it's going to be for Microsoft Studios. So there's a lot of work that goes on at Microsoft that it extends beyond just the infrastructure. So when we when we form partnerships with companies like Avid to bring cloud technology into the production environment, at least we do have some familiarity and some history. We actually do, if I remember the statistics right, over 3,000 corporate videos a year through Microsoft Studios, and that's full-on production like you see with that, ranging to the webcast that you see on MSDN or other marketing videos. So anyway, just a little flavor. So what we're here to talk about today, apologies if this is a repeat for anybody that went to Content Protection Summit at NAB, but we wanted to take a look at, can you do editorial in the cloud, and what does it mean to do that in a secure fashion? So where that takes us is there's a new standard coming, you may have heard of it, the Trusted Partner Network, that's going to have a lot of new requirements, and we were having a discussion amongst the CDSA, a couple of you were actually part of that, where there's going to be quite a bit of requirements coming down on studios, content producers, production companies that are going to put quite an overhang on people who are touching, particularly studio content. So what we're going to walk through here is a look at how can you get ready for that. That if an auditor is going to show up and look at your environment, what is it going to take as you scale? And what's leading us to that point, why doing editorial in the cloud, is the fact that there is so much new content. Everybody is generating. The infrastructure needed to be able to do that is just getting too great. As the types of content that are being worked with, whether it's immersive 360 video or very high resolution, high frame rate, the ability to do that on premise, in your existing edit bay is being restricted. So without spending potentially hundreds of thousands of dollars on upgrading your on-prem facilities, you need another way to be able to handle that kind of content. The other thing that we're seeing is companies want to be able to leverage global talent. It's not about how many editors do you have on-prem, but is there an artist, is there a specialist, is there an award-winning editor that's in another part of the world that you don't have the ability to get them into your editing facility here in LA. So again, there's got to be a different way of providing that kind of access and in a secure fashion. So anybody who's doing editing today, and I unfortunately can't include myself in that because I don't really know, I'm not really on that creative side. But fundamentally, it hasn't changed in a really long time. It's still just a slight digital translation of cutting and splicing physical film. People's, particularly in previous generations, they're still thinking in that way. And so when you look at a digital linear editor, really bears a lot of resemblance to an actual film. And moving into that DLE, moving into tape was kind of the last big innovation. And so now as we're getting into that digital environment, PC-based editing, whether it's Avid or Premiere or other kinds of tools that exist, that's we're at a point now where this is going to have a global change. In a security context, having physical workstations, in a way, it's easier to secure because you've got a door, and somebody like you know, a really large studio is going to have security requirements that mean these aren't, you know, these aren't internet facing. Edit bays are locked in a room with a, you know, a physical lock on the door and a security guard, which totally makes sense if you're, you know, cutting on the next version of or the next episode of Star Wars. But again, that requires everybody to be on set, on prem, which now, you know, for scale reasons, that it's you know, it's just not practical anymore. So what's happening is that to get that scale, you have to move to a broader distributed system, and cloud is really the way to do that. But unfortunately, it does open up some threat vectors. You are now connecting, you know, this high security physical environment to the internet. And that opens up all kinds of issues around, you know, how are you going to protect against piracy? How are you going to ensure the integrity of your content pipeline? So you're going to need ways of providing that secure remote access, ability to, you know, connect different environments together, different facilities, of, you know, particularly if they're you know, globally distributed. You know, you're also going to deal with the issues of file size. You know, if you're going to 8K or 8K stereo, then, you know, the sheer amount of data that you're generating, you know, is getting into the tens of terabytes a day. You know, and a single production could be, you know, 1.5, 3, 5 petabytes. You know, you look at something like Paramount's production of Gemini Man, that's Ang Lee's next film, where he is he's recording at 6K. Stereoscopic 3D, 120 frames per second per eye. And if you saw the demo that they did at IBC a few years ago, you know, where it has to have a special theater environment just to be able to show that, you know, the results are incredible, but it's a very future-looking technology, and handling that kind of data, it's just, you can't do that any other way but by leveraging the scale of cloud. So how do we get there? There are some, you know, some inherent capabilities in the cloud that, that give you that scale, give you the protection, and give you new tools for being able to, you know, to process and handle data in a more intelligent way. So some of these include being able to do visual analytics on content as part of your editorial flow. So using a service called Azure Video Indexer. As you process video, whether it's, you know, streaming or you're just on the raw ingest, it'll run several dozen different algorithms as that file comes in, and it'll do facial recognition, speech to text, logo and images, you know, semantic scene analysis, scene breaks. So it gives you this incredible set of metadata, which I guess I'm talking about in the other room, to be able to go back and very quickly and accurately identify what's in your content. And that's something that you just, you know, you can't do on-premise because you need the power of a highly scalable cloud service, you know, to apply that. One of the other things that it gives is, you know, in order to provide that distributed production, is browser-based access. So if that user that could be, you know, editing out of Africa because you're doing a location shoot, you don't want to have to ship an editing, you know, an edit bay or, you know, high power workstations all the way there. But you will have a laptop, you will have an internet connection. So by providing a virtualized workstation where you're just using a browser to be able to do, you know, be able to run a full Media Composer, a full you know, Premiere Pro environment, now you've got that, you know, complete access to data that's stored in the cloud. You can share that between users, you know, sitting at a studio, sitting at the remote location, sitting at a, you know, a VFX production house somewhere elsewhere in the world. So that distributed collaborative nature of being able to do video production really starts to be enabled through cloud, and that's something that, you know, when you're locked in a room and you're not internet connected, you're never going to be able to do. And cloud, you know, cloud natively enables that. And the other thing is being able to do it in a secure fashion. You know, that it is possible to, you know, to have an internet-facing presence that's not open to the internet. By having, you know, private encrypted links between locations, by having, you know, a dark fiber dedicated connection that's going to give you that very high-speed data transport, you know, plus all of the, you know, the capabilities that are native to the cloud of encryption at rest, you know, doing comprehensive access controls, you know, virtual network with, you know, with embedded firewalls in it, so that no matter where your data goes within your subscription environment, it's always going to be protected. And you always have control over that data as well. So looking at, you know, at a particular architecture, by working in the cloud, it gives you that that ability to create a workflow that's going to enable remote access but keep data centralized. And that's one of the real keys of security, is that rather than sending content around on shuttle drives, on airplanes, public drop sites like Dropbox or even OneDrive, the consumer OneDrive service, that are not designed for either large-scale content or really secure distribution. It gives you the ability to back up files into a cloud environment, to do high-scale ingest so that you can go direct from the camera or direct from your transcoder, put things up into the cloud, and then now you can let editors all over the world collaborate on using proxies over lower speed links. So, in the end, you're getting something through the cloud that is enabling that kind of a workflow, but doing it in a secure way. Again, something that you can't do very easily on your own and trying to build up that kind of infrastructure. And as you build that out, then if you think about it in terms of not just content production, but maybe content delivery. So you've got a news network that is constantly bringing in secure live feeds from remote locations. You've got subsidiary broadcast stations that are going to be consuming that content and distributing it out further to subsidiary stations. Then you're looking at how are assets being managed? How are these being protected in a global sense? So then we turn to partners like Avid, who has a completely cloud-native solution being built up that is not just the editorial environment, but all of the asset management and archive distribution, all of the workflows for being able to apply intelligence to edit pipelines, natively through the cloud. And it doesn't have to be cloud native. You can do it in a mixed environment. So just like with rendering, where you can have an on-prem render capability or on-prem workstations and then just burst into the cloud, you can balance that environment. And a lot of VFX shops do that today, where they have a significant investment in render infrastructure. They have a lot of edit bays that are on-prem still, and they're going to be there for years to come. It allows you to build that scale. And build that scale in a secure fashion by leveraging these kinds of services in addition to a thing that you already have on location. Remember this. So it's actually not even an eye chart because the text isn't clear enough to even read it. So at the start of the presentation, we talked about TPN. Now the cloud and app security framework is not finalized yet. Probably not going to be until the end of this year. You actually don't have to try taking pictures. We'll distribute this deck to all attendees. But there are going to be classes of security controls that are required for adhering to the TPN standard, and the TPN is what the studios are going to be using, not only to control their own content, but control how content is accessed. Anytime you touch something that belongs to them, these are the things that you're going to have to be aware of. So there are different categories of security controls, in particular in how content is encrypted and how it's accessed, as well as the native environment and how, from an IT perspective, infrastructure is being managed. So one of the things that we're doing is, based on those architectures that I showed, there is prescriptive guidance on how to configure a cloud environment, in our case Azure, as well as folding in third-party tools like Avid. So if you're running a Media Central environment and you've got a combination of on-prem Nexus storage and cloud-based storage, so using virtualized Nexus, then it's a set of guidance that will implement these same controls. So as you start looking forward into having to comply with something like TPN, if you're going to be using major studio content, then these are tools like automated scripting that will enable you to deploy an editorial environment that will much more easily pass an audit. It's already going to have the content locked down. And feel free to consume that later on and start getting a feel for what's going to be there. I'm not sure how we're doing. I heard clapping over there, so leave a little time for questions. So in terms of, you know, where is this heading? What do you have to be thinking about as you start enabling, enabling data to be used in the cloud, enable that collaboration between artists and specialists? One of the things that cloud enables is that it doesn't matter where the content goes. It's always going to be safe. And as we said, it's so much easier to protect content when you bring users to it instead of distributing it, because you have that access control. You can revoke access if somebody leaves, leaves a project. A lot of times today, nobody deprovisions that account because there could be a dozen different systems that that people are using on an individual show, and there is no centralized IT. So by putting this in the cloud where everything is provisioned for the user, then you have the power to, as soon as they're off of that project, you can just disable their access. But all of the assets are going to stay in a single place. This is a new scenario. Nobody is used to doing actual cutting in the cloud. Even for Avid, this is a huge engineering shift for them to support remote editorial workstations. Being able to do over-the-shoulder editing between facilities. There's a lot of power in the cloud, but this is, like I said, this is new for everybody. So we are providing that guidance. We have we have specialists in the field, both at Avid and within Microsoft, that can help build this out. But it's important to be thinking about this new environment that you're moving into, because it's fundamentally not the same. You might be familiar with sharing files across the internet. Even if you have, if you're using Aspera today to move large video files, that's not the same as letting people actually touch that on a regular basis on highly valuable assets. So you are internet facing now. You have people logging in. Logging into centralized systems in a way that requires a much more comprehensive view of security. Be thinking about how are you implementing access controls over your content? How are you doing simple things like password management? There are tools within the cloud and within these third-party tools that will enable that, but unfortunately, complying with something like TPN is up to the end user. Keep some of these issues in mind if you start to look at that distributed model. And lastly, just to talk about defense in depth, protecting content in this kind of a model, I'm sorry, I'm using my concentration with all the background noise, that there's a variety of new tools that are coming from the CDSA. So CDSA is part of Mesa that's running this show. There's a new ISAC, which is Internet Security, but essentially it's a threat feed that gives you information that's going to be specific to the media environment. Are there phishing attacks? Are there specific hacks going on against studios or content production environments? So I encourage you to take a look at that off of the CDSA site. And there are a lot of tools that exist, native to the cloud platform for monitoring everything that's going on. Monitoring, logging, and analytics is your best friend when it comes to doing content management. So whether you're using a third-party tool or whether you're using something that's cloud-native for being able to look at file access, application usage, login data, then that's going to give you a lot of insights to be able to further lock down and protect your environment. So what we'll do is just close on what some of the services that are available to you, ranging from fundamental security that's just part of the design of the platform, to security services that can be tied into an environment, whether it's third-party firewalls that are virtualizing your network, or things like Azure Security Services, which provide that kind of monitoring and analytics, dynamic threat detection that will help protect protect a studio environment that's implemented in the cloud. So I'm just going to close there. If there are any questions, I know this is a lot to take in a shortened session. This will be distributed to all attendees, and I will be upstairs if there's any more detailed questions. So it's a lot to take in, but anybody have any questions, or did everybody's brain melt?
I've heard a lot of concern about speed. Is that something that's been improved?
So the question is about speed and how is that going to work, particularly in remote scenarios. So one of the partners that we work with is Teradici. They have, basically it's a cloud virtualization front end that allows you to have browser-based or thin client-based access to cloud workstations. The latest generation of the protocol that they're releasing is that either on a 100 or a 200 megabit line, you can do 4K, 60 frame per second. And in tests that Avid has run of sitting on a workstation versus a local edit bay, an editor can't tell the difference. So the latency is low enough, generally under 20 milliseconds, sometimes even under 10, depending on your location, with a GPU-based workstation running in Azure, they're not going to know the difference. Anything else?
You talked a lot about metadata, where extracting and
So the question is, what is the schema and what kind of metadata is being generated?
Yeah. And is there a standard?
So the output format is very standardized. It's basically just a text file. It's a JSON formatted file that can be consumed by any kind of scripting or any kind of data ingest mechanism. You can port it directly into something like a dailies manager, like Fifth Kind. You could bring it into a database, use it as part of your editorial platform. The data is generalized. There's not really a standard for that yet. Things like EITR are working on that. Things like Gray Meta has a platform that does metadata ingest. So there are ways to do it. I'm seeing cards. Gray Meta. Gray Meta is one of the top Azure partners for doing that kind of data analysis, and it's built on Video Indexer for extracting that. So.
I'm sorry, did you call the company
name? Gray Meta. Gray Meta. Sitting right there. Question? Yeah.
Architecture. So you were talking about the Avid solution. Obviously, the way that you architect the scale is all in the cloud around, say, microservices is very different from the way that you architect that. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, so the question is, how do you scale in more of a microservices environment rather than typical package software? So Avid in particular has been working on that for the last couple of years. It's a fundamental shift in how their applications and services are designed. So their goal is definitely to be in that SaaS and platform service mechanism. So if you look at the latest cloud spaces that they released, Media Central and Media Composer in the cloud. These are things where they have compartmentalized a lot of the underlying architecture to be able to deal in a scalable environment. And that was necessary just to be able to use Azure Storage or to be able to, for the application to understand nearline versus cool versus cold storage and be able to automate workflows around that and distribute it on that kind of scale. Some of it they're using containers to be able to do it. Others, it's more of a SaaS approach in how they're doing it. One example is Pro Tools, where today through Azure you can actually do live collaboration between two sites. So you can have a guitarist in one soundstage and a drummer in the other, and they can actually record tracks and be collaborating on the same the same audio file. So they're definitely moving in that direction. There are some services available now and more coming. All righty. Thanks so much.